latest episode of the Big Sky Boneheads podcast, our first one for 2024. My name is Michael Gray. His name is Scott Hershey. Make sure you like and subscribe to this thing wherever you found it, and then put it on the socials and the Tweety spaces and the Facey spaces, and share it with other people, because that's how we get the word out about this thing, and we can share the thoughts of folks like we are joined by today. The folks like we are, that's not a sentence. We are joined.
we haven't done this in a while.
We can spread the messages for the peoples of the things. Man, I just embarrassed myself in front of our guests. Bill Cockhill, Ryan Featherston, former Montana Grizz football players, here because the Montana Grizz football players in their current form are playing a pretty important game coming up on Sunday the 7th at noon Mountain Time against the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State.
And well-known Grizzly football names, by the way. If you're a Grizz fan, you already know these guys, so it's cool to have them both in the studio. Different eras of Grizzly football, different roles of Grizzly football in many different ways, and different perspectives on what's going on right now, I'm sure. So, Bill, we're gonna start a little bit with you. Just impressions on this coming game. You obviously will be familiar with the national championship game, which is something that Grizzly fans know has happened on occasion throughout the eras of Grizz football. But you coached in one. You're an offensive coordinator for one. So, what's your thoughts about this coming game first and foremost?
Well, super excited for them to make it. I don't think different points in time throughout the year they've thought we were going to be there, and to see this team grow, you know, from my opinion is on the coaching side, to see them, it's probably the most I've ever seen a team grow in the middle of a season, go from point A to point Z, especially after as far down as we probably all were after the NAU game, and then you watch them just go game by game and get better and better as a team. As an offense, obviously big key, but because defensively they held a man a lot, special teams. But watch that team grow together from game to game towards where they got towards the end. You know, you beat Idaho on the road, that's a big win. You beat Montana State at home like you did, that's a huge win. And then to roll into the playoffs and play those type of teams that you had to play. So it's impressive, exciting for those kids, excited for their coaches, and then excited for Grizz fans because it's been a while since we've been there. We need to be back there. It's going to be exciting. I'm going down. I'm looking forward to it.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. I'll be there with a lot of people that I haven't seen in a long time. And so we'll have a good time. So I'm excited for them. And I love that we're underdogs. So let's see what happens.
Ryan, are you going?
I'm going to New Orleans, actually. Me and my little brother have a fishing trip. So I'll be watching it on my phone while I'm fishing for red. So
nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. No, I actually, this was like my first time going as a – it's been a while since I even went as a fan. I've never been to a playoff game as a fan, so that was a really cool atmosphere, and to be in the tailgates and stuff like that. So I guess Bill and I have both seen it in a fan's perspective too at times, where we've been so far involved in it in other ways. So,
well, totally. And that becomes my question. I mean, you got a Grizz logo on your chest right now. I know what happens to me when a team that I'm a fan of is in a big game coming up at the end of the week. Each day I'm a bigger mess. Yep. You know, by the end of the week. Does that still happen for you guys? Do you have a different level of calm with it? Or do you get into that WrestleMania mode as this thing gets closer?
I think the word calm with Bill Cockhill is a different...
that was relative...
I'm very competitive, I think. How about that? I'll put it that way. I'm super competitive. And even though I might not be in the building, like the Grizz, the brand itself is your part of it, right? And you help lead it to a way, you know, from when you played to when you coached to... all those relationships, even though we're not there, like, I take every game, like, I almost wear it on my sleeve each week, so.
Way too personal.
Yeah, I do.
Way too personal. No, I'm right there with you, and, you know, it's hard, and, you know, at our house, you know, we don't watch, the kids don't usually watch games with dad, if it's my team, and, you know, the Grizz and the Vikings are pretty much off schedule for everybody to be watching it with me. It's like, well, we'll just go to a different room or whatever, and let him go at his own pace there, because.
Dogs are cowering by the door.
Yeah.
Dad's using his football voice.
Yeah, it's a like little it. Ugly, you know, so, but.
I'll tell you a real brief story, and this goes back to my days when I was broadcasting for the Grizzly Network, and I was doing pregame and postgame interviews and doing the pre- and postgame show, and during the game itself, it was Scott and Mick in the booth, and I would go up there once in a while, and during that time, when Bill was coaching, the booth of the broadcasters was directly one wall away from the coaches.
Oh, boy.
Bad idea.
And the first time I was up there, I looked over at that wall and the sounds coming out of it and the words coming out of it. And I said to Mick, I was like, does that come over the air? He goes, that's Bill Cockhill. He goes, sometimes we have to turn the microphones a little bit away, but no, we've so far haven't gotten any trouble over what's going over the air.
Yeah, a little too aggressive at times.
That doesn't go away, though.
No, competitiveness and passion, you know, for what you're doing, want your kids to succeed, want your team to win, you know, probably a little bit.
Well, we're from the area, too. Yeah. I mean, you get to represent your state. I mean, you look at all these other states and their population, we're, you know, we just increased 1 million people, so you know everybody in the corner of the in this whole state. And I have a lot of Cat fans, so I'm really been repping my stuff. I had a meet with a Cat person this morning, and I mean, I
look like you came from the team store.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, I guess I've just been engraved in my mind since I had Coach Ernston as my coach, and he played for the Grizz. I don't know, and you know, he played for Jack Johnson, and my dad played for, you know, winning the CMR, knew Jack well, and I don't know, it's just something about those traditions and programs that you've been involved in, and then I walked right into the Grizz. It was like you took it from one level in high school, and then you just even amplified it even more, and just the legacies that's been left throughout it. So,
and is it harder in ways as just a fan? Because when you're a player, when you're a coach, at least you have an avenue to vent that energy. You have something to focus on, and then you have something to do aside from throw drinks and, you know, kick ottomans.
It's tougher as a fan,
but,
you know, because you got nowhere to go with it,
right?
You know, I mean, as a player, at least the player's the easiest, you're not even nervous, you're just let's roll and let's go. But as a coach, you're kind of on that edge of whatever, you know, you're hooked to it, but you still don't have as much control as you want to as a player.
Sure.
You know, and then you're over here as a fan with everybody else going, come on, baby, let's go.
And you can legally hit someone during a game compared to out in the real world. There's times where I've wanted to throw punch a couple of my buddies in the sense of... And it's good. And I think it's just, you know, I've been able to like decompress at times, but no, I definitely get high strung activity and during games, and when they score touchdowns, you know, I'm yelling just like what Bill's saying. I don't know. Yeah.
What do you think about today about like social media and these players and coaches? Because here's what I see in social media. I see fans discussing the games, arguing about the games, criticizing coaches, criticizing players, and then I see some other fans come up and go, you shouldn't be doing this, these players can read this, it's in public, these are young men, and I sometimes I'm like, well, if your skin's not tougher than that by now as a college football player, you're kind of in big trouble. That's part of my thoughts, but what are your thoughts on social media today and how these coaches and players deal with it?
You know, the last couple of years, last 6-7 months, I've probably got more into Twitter and checking it out and whatnot, and I see, you know, all the blogs and, hey, people going after this and that, and I think need to be very careful about what you exactly say to players, and how you know what you're going after them for, because it's a total different game when you're in there as a player. I was a little disappointed on some of the things that you see that, you know, get a little personal on how you attack a player based on how he or she may be playing, and I think that's just wrong, you know. You know, you want to disagree with calls and how things are going and what we should do here and there. Hey, go ahead, have at it, you know, and whatnot. And, you know, as a coach, that's part of your life. That's what you live with. But I think you need to be very careful about how you attack players, you know, and it better not be personal. You need to stay away from that because they're giving you everything they literally have, personally and physically.
Did you see that interview with Mike Vrabel yesterday? The Tennessee Titans head coach, you know, the guy asked him about losing. It's like, losing sucks. Like, every day I wake up, you know, I don't sleep at night. And when you're in football, it isn't just football season. Football season's 365 days out of the year. Right. Whether you're in winter conditioning, watching film, it's a machine and it goes and it's always going. And you're talking about response. I think when you lose, you see a lot more negativity on that social media, right? The fans ride the wave and the players are always part of it. And it's not like we don't know it's not happening. Players. I played when Facebook just started coming. When I left high school, Facebook was invented, right? So social media is bad and good. It can affect you being recruited-wise, and that's like some people, I think, when I look at kids, I would say, you know, people are watching your page and the fact that they're waiting for you to make a mistake, and when you do, you're going to get blasted all over the page, and you're going to be front page news, because it isn't just normal Joe that did that. It's going to be the Grizz player did that.
Yes, it is.
And so you have to live with that, but also at the same time, you got to learn to, you know, ignore the noise. You're going to have fans say what they say. That's part of it. But now you can read it, you know. And we had Egris was around, but we used to create anonymous names and mess around and go on there and blog with a fake account and mess. You know, we used to mess back with the fans. But I think what's so cool about it is the loyalty of our fans in this whole, in the university. Yep. I think that's what I love about it so much. I get it. I'm there too. In September, everyone you were talking about in September, like, people were ready to burn the house down after the Ferris State game. And I brought up the, like, hey, in 2008, you know, we almost lost to Central Washington.
Yep.
Hence, I was on the hands team, and the ball got kicked right to me, and me and Colt Anderson ran into each other. I was always taught fair catch, a high ball. Colt and I ran into each other. Bobby then took me off a hands team. I still have sick hands. Bobby wants to say whatever he wants. But I think the kicker saw number 90, and everyone else had single digits, so he's like, I'm kicking it to that dude. But then we lost the next week to Weber State. 2008, we almost lose to Ferris State, and then we lose to NAU. And I think when I've been under Bobby for 3 years, and what I always watch, and Bill said it great, is like, we adapt. We don't, what we're playing in September, you're not going to see in November. And I think, and that's what I think I was trying to put out on Twitter, is like, don't let this determine what the season can be, because it's still early. I'd rather take an early loss than a loss in November 18th, like the Cats.
Yeah.
Because it can affect your seeding like it did in this sense. And now seeding's a huge aspect of home field advantage and whether or not you're going to play over Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, it would have been different playing NDSU in Fargo.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Just like as if you come to play us. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And let's be fair, NDSU got hot, too. Because they didn't have a great first half of the year. You know, they did have three losses. But at the end of the year, what'd they look like? They look like a national championship
team. Well-oiled machine.
They look like the Bison.
Yeah,
Bobby always says the games are remembered or played in November. Yep. And that's something. Now we have December playoffs. When I played in the Natty, both of them, you only get a week. You played, quick. And then you were flying 3 days later. These guys, you get at least a month, a little bit, in the sense of. So I think it's a little bit different now that we look at it that way, and how you're playing and coaching. I, as an offensive guy, would hate to be off this long.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah,
because you did get in a rhythm. Your players got in a rhythm. Everybody got in the same mind frame. You know, you take it a little longer. You just come off a little bit. Your passing game comes out of rhythm just a hair. Hopefully, your running game stays there if you have one. You know that you can sit there and lay on people and beat people up, control the sticks, because it does take it sometimes. Maybe take a quarter. You know, to get going. I mean, look at that Michigan-Alabama game.
Right.
You know, I mean, Alabama did not look good for the first half. And second half, they looked much better.
Right.
Still not enough, but again, a great Michigan defense.
Well, and a month off.
Yeah.
You never know. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, this is my question, and especially as coaches and players. Part of the two-sided sword here is that nothing is bigger than football.
Yeah.
Like, college football is second to pro football. Everything else is looking for third place, right? The That's NBA, right. The NHL, everything. So that month off is part of the media hype machine. Mm-hmm. They can drive eyeballs to the television shows, and they can do all of that. That's a month for players to be sitting on their phones, to be picking up all of this stuff. And forget, like, I mean, I watch my football teams when they come out, my college football teams, and they play a game in January. Like, who are you? Like, what happened to the game in Thanksgiving? You guys were great. You had it locked in. And then, like, nobody can catch a punt.
Yep.
That's where we are. We're just going to muff punt.
Are you a Michigan fan?
Yeah. I saw a few. Right?
Okay. And
that one by Thaw, when it's tripping towards the. I'm like, okay, well, it's the dumbest play in college football history is going to end the season because that guy caught a punt inside the five, which you don't do, and a seventh grader knows that. Yep. And I'm
surprising how much people are doing it again, though.
All the time, right?
I mean.
But that goes to your point about your cohesion, especially on offense. How, as a coach, how do you knock off a month's worth of rust? Because it's going to be a thing because nobody's been on the field.
Well, it's not simple, obviously, because you keep seeing it happen. It's hard, but you try to be a little bit more physical throughout the weeks that you can leading up into it to still keep into some sort of rhythm where you're going again, like ones-on-ones a lot. You know, I know that we may not be playing the same scheme, but we got to see each other
because
we need that. We need to see that feel, you know, and we got to have that speed. And those angles change with ones on ones versus ones on twos or threes.
Or scouts, even in that sense. Yeah. Like, definitely.
So you got to do that part as much as you can, but still stay healthy. So it's a delicate little
deal. The healthy part's important. That's the biggest a positive of the time off. And every coach is going to want their team to get healthy, especially big guys up front, especially guys that get beat on every game. Yep. And so they do come out a little bit fresher, but the timing and all of the other things might suffer for it. So there is a balance there. How coaches handle that has got to be a unique experience. You were with a few different coaches as a player and as a coach, and you are familiar with the current coach, obviously, with Bobby Houck. That time off and their mindset has got to be different for every coach.
Totally, and how they're going to handle stuff. You know, it definitely will be. I mean, when we were at you know, when I was coaching at Wyoming and we had the bowl game, we didn't play until right before Christmas. You know, so we had about 3 weeks off. You know, we took the first week, basically said, hey, get healthy, you know, get control of school, make mm-hmm. sure we're in a good spot. Coaches are going to recruit, and when we come back, okay, we're going to be now back into game planning. And the first week was pretty heavy game plan, heavy practices, heavy one-on-ones, heavy everything, trying to get to your spot and dial it in so that when you left for the game that week, 4 or 5 days you had, everything was already in. You were just basically, you know, you were basically just redoing everything down at practices of the bowl week, mm-hmm. you know, but your guys were healthy and whatnot, weren't banging a whole bunch. You were just getting ready to roll. And so, and we actually had a pretty good, you know, a pretty good start. You know, I was a little aggressive right off the bat. I'm like, hey, we're going to come back and go with our best player right now, set a message to our team and them, and we hit it. So, I mean, I think those things are all mentally, you have to have your team ready for those things. Hey, we're going to come here, we're going to be aggressive, and let's go right now.
Now, Ryan, what do you think Bobby's approach to this?
Well, and I kind of see it because I know some of the players still on it too. You know, he sent mm-hmm. them out, went to let them go have your Christmas holidays with your families, travel, get that out of the way, you know, because then you're going to be busy and you're locked in. I think the biggest thing nowadays is we have film on our phones within seconds. So these guys have been watching film, and I think that's a big thing, especially on the defensive side. A, you're going to know what formations and personnel that they're in, and you're just rewatching it. Offensively, I think it's just schematically is like how they're going to line up, and you're still not going to know exactly until you get there, so you're making as many predictions as you possibly can. I think it's more you're also getting healthy in the sense. I think the biggest MVP this week will be JC Welda, our trainer, athletic trainer. I think who he can get ready and get to 100% is going to make a difference, you know, especially some of our O-line. I know we got dinged up in the Furman game, or we did have a couple of them in the Furman game. And getting them back on the field and them being 100% will help with that run game. I mean, we were playing solid in November, and don't get me wrong, we were playing good in the playoffs, but both Furman and NDSU, both great defenses, right? One ranked fourth, the other one, NDSU's defense just flies around and plays great sound football. But you have to, you know, our offense is, we have to score so the defense can play the 3-3-5 defense seam-wise of how they're going to play the game. And I felt like Furman and NDSU, we were kind of slow started, and thank God our defense did play some good solid football during that time, because NDSU was in the red zone almost three times before we even scored a point. It was all in that they missed that field, or they made the field goal and then shanked the field goal.
Had a penalty.
Yep. You know? Yep.
So, and that is a good key point that about the film right off the bat that you never used to have. I mean, we had a playoff game. You know, Northern Iowa didn't want to trade with us. And we're playing in a quarterfinal or semifinal game in Missoula. So, you know, all of a sudden, you know, everybody's mad at each other. And, you know, you're watching recorded video of games on TV and getting films wow. from other teams. And, I mean, that's how it worked back then. It was just different. You know, now, hey, boom, everybody's got everybody. Here it is right there. Bam, here's all your cut-ups right now. And yep. go about it and look at your stuff on your own. I'll see you at the first meeting, and we're going to cover X. So make sure you're ready for it.
What about the inverse of that as a coach, especially making sure that you're putting in some tendency breakers as they're looking at your film? Because they're going to know every formation, every play that you've done as well.
So you do have a little bit of that, too, when you have 3-4 weeks off. Hey, we're going to self-scout also. So let's make sure, because we did it on our off week. We always kind of keep control of it while we're growing throughout the season. But then when you get to a time where you can take a little bit more peek at it and go, okay, hey, here's what we've always shown out of this. Here's what we've always shown out of that. All right, let's do that, except we're going to have this twist right off of it.
Right. I think Brent Pease has done enough to where you watch that. Like, I think Coach Pease did a good job late in the season where he was doing, I wouldn't say just necessarily trick plays, but we had reverses. We had other multiple people touching the ball to where it was breaking our tendencies of like, hey, we were just running this situation. And all of a sudden we do run to a pass and it makes a big gain. And
because they're going to set up, hey, you get in this, these are the two or three plays they're going to run. Hey, we'll come with play action or something off of that, and next thing you know, here's your big plays.
Yep.
You know, and then they got to go chalk it up middle of the game, try to figure it out, and if you got another something off of that, even better. You know, so that will definitely come up. That will definitely up in your first 2 weeks of game planning.
As a Grizz fan sitting here, one thing that I just had run through my brain as I'm watching you guys listening to you talk is, as Grizz football goes, I think it's You guys are two representatives of something that I think is a legacy thing that's happened with Grizz football. There was an era with Don Reed. There was an era that followed him a little bit. My brother said this. He's a Bobcats fan, by the way. Sorry. He's a different part of the family. Anyway, he used to tell me, he's like, this Grizzlies always seem to have a really good undersized wide receiver almost all the time, because these guys are out there making plays. He goes, you look at them, they're not intimidating. And he says they always had that. And another thing they've always had is this legacy of great linebackers. The 37 just underlines it, as Ryan was. But those two things, for some reason, have followed the Grizzlies a little bit. And it seems like all the way to today, it seems to be a signature. And I don't understand how that happens in programs, but it just seems to be something that continues on. And as you were one of these guys, you kind of see that bloodline.
Yeah, you know, it runs through cycles a little bit, and I think when you have a Dave Dickinson that puts a shine on something right there, you know, you look at it, and I mean, I was the second tallest perimeter guy we had. That's scary at 5'8". You know, there you go, 5'5", 5'4", 5'6", and 5'8", and 5'10".
Wow.
I mean, you're like, wow, those guys are small. I got a good story about that one, but... you know, you're looking for people that can make plays, people that can run and make plays. And if they're at our level, and if that means they're 5'5", then we'll take them. If that means they're 5'10", then we'll take them. Because obviously you're not going to have a lot of 6'1 guys running around in Montana that can make plays all the time, because they probably have different opportunities that might be higher.
Right.
You know? And so that's why you end up with guys that might be not the same mold that you want every wideout to look like. You know, to be that. And so we just ran into an unfortunate time there where, heck, we were 4 wide every snap, sometimes 5 wide all the time. And
yeah, throwing the ball around.
Yeah, and so you got guys all over the Northwest were like, hey, I'll play for that school, you know.
Sure. That was the initial knock on Joe Glenn, is he didn't throw it enough.
Yeah,
but I know. Until he started winning games, and then they were like, okay, we're okay with this.
Forgot what a running game was, you know, because, we can win without having to run. I'm like, well, hey, I'm number 15 pulling the trigger anymore either, you know. I mean, and we did have a great line of quarterbacks that made it look pretty darn good and pretty darn easy, but you want to win long-term, you better be able to do both.
And on the defensive side, the linebacker lineage, obviously we all think of the 37, but even outside of that, linebacker play has been a key of this team for a very long time.
Well, I kind of go back. Montana High School plays pretty solid football, of sound football. I think that's what a lot of people don't. When we go outside some of these other states and you see a team, they have one good receiver, one good quarterback, they're going to throw the ball. Well, when we went to camp in high school, we just went into our dime package and said, all right, well, if you're going to throw all day, we're just going to sit in our, you know, in a defense that we can cover this. And I think Montana sports, and this kind of goes to all the coaches out there and how great of a job they do. You know, they whatever you have, they kind of mold their offenses or their defenses to the people. Instead of just the scheme itself, you see the play that what you have as a player, and then you base it around it. You know, you talk about the receivers. You know, there's a couple in my mind: Mark Mariani, Haverboy, Small. Man, could he run? You know, Chase Reynolds, a Drummond kid that everyone underestimated. It's a bunch of misfits.
Jimmy Ferris, I mean, not from Montana, but one of those guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. And then, like, when you're saying linebackers, you know, I can go back through a long list of linebackers that, you know, if there would have been film back in the day, some of these guys like Jason Kriebel could have been recruited big time. Where but for a Florida school, all they have to do is go down a block down one way and they can recruit a kid there, or go turn around and go down another block and there's another high school with that many kids in it. And so when you – Montana, you know, and both the Cats and the Grizz have been really trying to push hard to get those kids, I think it's just blue-collar hard kids that can play good sound football. You know, we might not be the biggest, the fastest, or the strongest, but we play good team football. And that's what I think a lot of our defense has had success with, is playing solid football.
Well, it's working out in this region, because I think South Dakota State has a lot of the same thing going on, and it's a very Northwest championship this year.
Yeah.
So
I love to see. I love, there was like a post. It's like Washington, Montana, South Dakota, and Michigan, the states, and it's like the
Northern
whole
states.
Yeah, the whole South's burning right now, pissed off about it. Pardon my language, but
there's going to be a whole lot of ranches and farms with the day off.
Yeah,
coming up Sunday to Monday. What about the greater connection you guys have with the culture of Grizz football? Because when you go across generations, sometimes I know, if, you know, you talk to guys within programs, they get bitter because it gets lost, or they feel like there's something that's missing from when they were a part of it to now. You guys seem pretty connected, regardless of when you played, when you coached, what you were a part of, to now when it's going on in real time as they get ready for a national title game.
I think just kind of, you know, connected in the sense that we see the players, we know what Bobby's doing because Bobby did the same thing with us. So I think in that sense, my mind is at ease. I know what he's putting them through. When they first hired him, you know, a lot of people
were you laughing? Like,
Well, I know winter conditioning is going to be. He's going to be making people, and like they did a thing like with pursuit drill. He's like, no pursuit drill. Yeah, like we all like every defensive player that ever been under Bobby knew exactly, because he sits there and gives you thumbs up or thumbs down, and you don't want thumbs down. It's hell for the rest of your practice. And you know, social media. I've got to coach some of these kids. Like when Marcus Wellnow was there, I have some kids that I had as students from Clancy that are over at there, and. So I get to see them on social media, and I follow them and have conversations, go duck hunting with some of them here once and now and then. But for the most part, you know, I trust that it's in, you know, it's done right. And if you're not winning, that's the whole AD's perspective is get someone in there that's going to win, because that's what we've been known to do. And when we're not winning, it's not normal. So,
yeah, I mean, as I was once famously told as a staff member sitting out there in the in the trailers when we were still working on getting some new offices for the coaches, the AD walked in and said, 8-3 ain't going to cut it, boys. I mean, and we had just won the Big Sky at 8-3, and
right.
Everybody mm-hmm. looked around like, whoa, okay, yeah. We've arrived in Missoula, because it wasn't always like that.
The standard set.
Yeah, the standard is set, you know, and we had been on a ride for a while, and which is okay. I mean, 8-3 is not bad, but, you know.
But not good enough.
But not good enough, you know. And, you know, when your department's ticket sales are sent to a deal, you know, or, you know, tied, you know, it's, you know, hey, football's got to produce.
Money
you know?
Talks.
And, yep. But, you know, when you talk about, hey, tradition inside the program and who you are, hey, here's who we are, here's how we operate, and here's how we win. And here's who we're going to be. And it's going to be with these type of players and these type of people. You know, and so that's why you feel a connection, because a lot of those kids, you know, you do feel like that. You know, and there's kids from other parts of the country. And you can tell, hey, they're buying into what we are up here in Missoula, and what we are and what we want to be. And those kids are exuding it. And you can kind of see it coming out in them. And you get a little bit more of that now in social media. Yep. And you're like, hey, those kids are starting to buy into, this is how we operate up here. It snows. It's cold. You got to play like this.
Toughen up, Buttercup.
Yeah, you know.
Right.
And we got to be able
to wear sleeves. You know, that was one thing I loved when I saw a bunch of them come out. It was like none of them were wearing sleeves. Yeah. I think that's just a mental game in that sense. And
kids, you know, and it feeds into our crowd. It feeds into who we are. And so you look at it and, hey, the team's growing together. And it's just, you know, you just end up being, hey, this is who we are. This is what we're all about.
This is what it means to be a member of this squad.
Exactly. You know, and so those kids are buying in, you can tell, and that's been there for a long time, you know, and it's taken a long time to build, you know, quite honestly, and there's been a lot of players.
I mean, you go back all the way to 94 and beyond, you know, kind of like if you watch the whole era of Grizz, when we start hitting the 80s, we start getting into that stride, and it hasn't seemed like we slowed down. 17 in a row, Big Sky Conference titles, the amount of times we were in the, you know, playoffs contention. I was actually part of the one that we end up losing it and not making it, you know.
Yeah.
With Flugrad's first year on that one, and you know, that sucked. Don't get me wrong, but all streaks come to an end, and then the next year we got us to the semi. So it wasn't totally. It's not like we stayed in that
little transitional, little tough deal there.
Always when you have a new coach, I feel like.
Well, and these things help recruiting. Well, you've been a part of the recruiting process, Bill. And I was just recruiting kids for those reasons. It snows, it's cold, it's going to be hard. All those things are tough. You know, it might be a tough sell in some instances. You've got Yellowstone working for you now. You've got Montana's cool again. Yeah. Montana's winning, and it's cool again. The rest of the state hates Yellowstone and hates the fact that we got a bunch of California people here. But... got to be great for recruiting.
Yeah, break out that resist all for that recruiting trip.
It does. I mean, you guys are probably old enough. I mean, a river runs through it. Was ripping through there when we took off in the mid-90s. And it does help, you know, just the image. You know, we had a little section there was not the best image of Missoula or the University of Montana.
But we'll put an asterisk on that. There's some stories that are misinformation.
Totally misinformation. That's partly where I was
going.
And
that's what I said, because then we get my whole 2011 season NCAA
pulled
away. And that was all because we had hot dogs and waters outside, and our own president gave us that. It wasn't even the NCAA. So when they try to put an asterisk on that, I say BS to that. We played that game, and we smashed them.
And lost a good coach because of it, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, and there was good guy. And there's some things, like one person was in trouble and he did serve his time and he deserved to serve his time in this situation, but a lot of people don't. I mean, there's more to each side of the story, right? And
100%.
And as a player during that time, I got to see some of it, and I was, you know, I partied with them and we were all during that stuff.
And we got caught in a time, you know, people wanted to drag us down.
Well, and guess what? And you have social media, you have cameras now, you have phones, and you have all this stuff that can capture
So you have to be better as a player and as a coach and everybody and bring it up. And we've found a way through that. You know, well,
and it's a product of success. Yeah. You know, when you're good, when you're on top,
people want you.
That's how you know, because there are people that are trying to cut your Achilles off from under you.
Yep. So sometimes you have to, once you, that kind of comes out, okay, I got to reset.
Right.
Remind us who we are, how we're going to go about it, and go back from there, redo it, and it came back pretty quick again.
Sure.
You know? I mean, so, and I think, you know, also coming back, when you, I give Bobby a little credit here, coming back in, we were, you know, we were in a tough spot. You know, we weren't doing a great job recruiting University in the state. You know, we weren't a real physical team. You know, we changed really kind of who we probably should be a lot of times. And, I mean, and so you look and go, all right, Bobby had to take us and bring us back to this. Hey, yeah, we still throw the ball. We still do a lot of stuff. Sure. But we need to get back to being a physical football team, recruit the state of Montana heavily, do a great job there, and make sure we are a physical, tough-minded team, you know, which are hallmarks of Bobby's games, right, of teams, and you know that. And you look at us, and that's who we are now, you know. And I don't think you're going to get very far, you know, without having that stuff. And I'll say this, hey, when I was playing in Missoula way long time before Ryan here, I mean, we were a pretty soft four wide team, but we weren't real physical on defense. We weren't real physical on offense. Dave Dickinson changed that because he could change everything, right?
And then we won it with him.
But we weren't a great football team. We didn't win that without having a good defense in 95, because we were still pretty average on defense in 94 and 93, the first year we won the Big Sky. That, we weren't that.
And then the 2001 team, was that defense just, was insane.
Yeah,
oh, we boy.
Became, oh my,
totally insane.
Against Georgia Southern. And
yeah, totally insane. You know, we lost in 2000 to Southern.
And then, sorry, beat Furman. Because
we turned it over.
Yep.
Because we turned it over four times. Yep. But we're still good on, really good on defense. Yep. So when you see us, hey, we're good on defense and we're a physical team, we can play with the Southern teams and the Midwest teams. If you're going to be West Coast and soft, at some point in time, they're going to beat you, you know, somewhere in the middle of the playoffs. Yep. And so I look at it. You know, you have to get back to doing those things, and he's brought that back, and he's brought that attitude back.
I think that's why we beat Idaho.
I really think
our toughness is the reason why we beat Idaho in that game.
This team reminds me of the 2001 team. I watched every game of that season from the sidelines, and they didn't dominate a lot. They were so hard and steady. John Edwards played harder than any quarterback I've seen play. The effort of that kid alone, it got him to where he was. I mean, he wasn't the most talented kid ever.
He's a winner.
But he, a winner,
players,
a competitor.
Team
reminds me of that team.
Player, and I don't know this team like I know that one. Player-led team. I mean, a lot of older kids with a single focused mind and goal. I mean, I think we raised our voice at practice somewhere around week 4 or 5. And after that, I'm not sure we had to, be honest with you, after that.
Right.
And didn't lose another game. I mean, didn't lose a game. I mean, and that's all on players. You know, so give those guys all the credit in the world for what they did. Quite the run there with that team. And we could line up with anybody.
And they were a lot, like, again, they just reminded me of this team. Almost, even as a Grizzly team that at that time was looked at as being dominant, was looking at as always as being near the top or at the top, they just didn't overwhelm you. That you'd watch them and like they won another game, and you'd look and they just got the job done. It was almost like people were underestimating them because they weren't flashy. They were just hard worker, and what a great team to get accomplished against them. I mean, it was a fantastic team.
Yeah,
and I think this team's got a lot of similarities.
Be another tough team, Furman down there. I mean, another just defensively wow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, run game wow. I mean, that's the defense stepped up and stuffed them, but I mean, it just dudes everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so you want to play on that level, you're going to have those guys, you know.
And look at SDSU. I mean, we're saying probably the same thing as we look at their offense and defense. There's dudes everywhere in that sense.
I watched their last two games on TV. I'm like, whoa. I texted a couple of friends on the semifinal game when they're beating up on
Albany.
Was that Albany? And I'm like, boy, they play like this. I'm not sure there's many teams going to beat this team.
I think Idaho could have, well, once you got to beat Albany, Idaho shot themselves in the foot a lot of the time during that quarterfinal game if you stayed up at midnight to watch that thing. But I felt like Idaho could have gave them more of a run. And I think offensively, I think we mimic a little bit of some of that Idaho. I think by passing it, you know, we can Clifford's got to pass. Clifford's got to make some great passes in this game. And
yeah, he didn't have the best semifinal game, let's be honest. Yeah, but
wasn't feeling comfortable in the pocket.
He didn't. You know, he struggled a bit. But you know what? He's playing hard, and honestly, he's got to play well. But the offense has to play well. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to beat a great team if you don't play well on offense or defense. I mean, it just doesn't happen, or special teams. And we've been great on special teams. Obviously, look at the punt and kick returner we got. Okay, that guy's at least 7 a game. You know, and it's not just if he crosses the end zone. What happens when he rips it back to the 20?
Yep.
Okay, now I still got the ball in a good position, right? So
field
those
play.
Those are points, too, as well. And so we have a good option there, you know, and a great weapon. So if we play well on O&D, you know, and I know, hey, well, God, that's how you win. Well, yeah, but you know, we can win. But we have to play better offensively. QB's going to be play better, but we can, and he has. Has he not? Yep. I mean, he really has.
He did enough to where in NDSU, we got him out of their game plan to where they couldn't just sit in 14 personnel and run the ball all game long. They were trailing, so they had to get into passing scenarios, and that lets our defense play.
We need to continue to make sure Bergen is a problem on offense.
We got
to
score four. I say we got to go 14-0 at the end of the first quarter and get them out of their game plan is what I'm hoping for.
Well, that's why I like early. Hey, come back. Come after them early.
Double comeback. Your comeback play and go deep.
Get something on the board early and make them go, okay, hey, Montana's here and ready to go. They're not afraid of us.
No, that's perfect because I'm watching you two talk yourself up. And like,
my blood level, my blood pressure, my face is
exactly
red.
BPs are coming up. Now, that leads me to this next question. You guys are standing in front of the locker room before you leave the tunnel before the game. What do you say to the team?
Well, you go on that.
Fly around, have fun. Really, you can't really say any much more that's going to change the outcome of the game if you haven't prepared for yourself for that moment already. At that time, you got to let the nerves relax. You know, if you play tight, you're not going to play a great game. If you play loose and have fun, you can see the difference that makes of it. And I think that's what I think is go fly around, enjoy the moment, play the game.
Totally, he's exactly right. Because if you don't play like you normally have all the time, you won't play well. If you play, you know, flinched up and tight and whatnot, it won't go great. If you just let it fly and say, "Let's go, baby," and have fun with each other, you know, and say, "Hey, let's just feed off each other and enjoy it," you'll play well.
Yeah. Are either of you familiar? I mean, the Frisco, Texas atmosphere. I went to a game in Chattanooga. Went and unfortunately lost the loss in Chattanooga. But you know, the Frisco, Texas now has 50-50 South Dakota State fans and Grizzly fans. These are good fan bases. They'll travel well. That stadium is going to be full. And I think the Grizzly fans are used to a little bit more of a rowdy atmosphere than South Dakota State is, but it's going to be rowdy down there because they're going to be full too. So are you familiar with the atmosphere down there, and what do you think of it?
Haven't been there. Heard it's great, you know, but I'm looking forward to it. So let's be loud and have fun.
Yeah. When are you going down? How many days you got?
So I'm actually just going to go down Saturday morning, taking off. Be
probably
down there
best,
midday. I am going with my son, so I got to keep it relatively under control.
The first step is admitting you have a problem. Yeah, all right.
he might be a designated driver at times for me and my buddies, which will be good.
Oh, they're used to dealing with NDSU fans down there. Yeah, Frisco. There's Ubers.
I mean, it's good. I'd rather see us somewhere to where we can start putting a stamp on FCS football. And we deserve more. A Sunday afternoon game bothers me. We should be prime time in the sense. We should be highlighted. I played in two in the Chattanooga ones, and it was just like Tennessee was so far from our Montana fans, but we still traveled. I would love to see them like somewhere in the middle, like Vegas or something to the extent where we can start building around it. Dallas and Texas has a lot of football and everything like that. It's a soccer stadium. I've heard bad things about the grass at times. One year there was a drought and the grass was all over.
Well, it can't be as bad as Chattanooga. That JMU game.
Chattanooga's, yes, but at least it was watered down compared to the other stadiums. I don't know, but I think that shows, well, and then look what we're dealing with, NIL and FBS taking over in the sense. So I feel like FCS has to do something to continue to survive. I'm glad Frisco has changed, but it's supposed to change after this year, right? I think it goes somewhere new, or the contract's up.
It's up for bids.
Up for bid.
But who's going to bid it? Because
I mean, there's a lot of things that play into it.
I would be surprised it's back in Frisco, to be honest with you.
Boy, I don't know. There's some St. Louis area football fans that need something.
Or, like, I.
You know, it's tough. You know, some of those ones are tough, but at least they're putting us on ESPN2 on those Friday and Saturday nights and those weekends. And, you know, it's great that they're on those channels because they need to be. And look how good of games the Grizz games have been. And people are like, wow, this is amazing. Like, yeah, I know. You guys need to keep showing up.
When we played out state in the semifinals, our enrollment website crashed because of the amount of people that were checking out to come to the University of Montana. So when football's having success, the school's having success.
On the flip side, as a fan, when game day showed up for the Grizz-Cat game, and they're like, look at this place. I'm watching TV going, shut up.
I know.
Like, same.
Stop talking. Yeah. Hey,
I was just pointing, be honest.
Zip it. Like, oh, look at the mountains. This is beautiful. I should buy a house here. You should bait it, Desmond.
Another reason 8-3 doesn't cut it, but you make sure we're on TV at home.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I know exactly. And imagine the amount of money that they got through that. You know, that's big. That's winning that game day in that sense brings a lot of attention and good to props to their AD and their president in that sense. But I agree. It's like, well, you think that's special? Come over here and see
As well as we've showed the last two weekends, I wouldn't be surprised we could get a chance at it here coming up.
Oh, 100%.
But you got to win, though, right? And that's the thing. You got to win.
Now, I know what your thoughts are probably a little bit on this, but in regards to Grizz football, as we move forward past the championship game, the first question fans and a lot of people are going to have in their mind is what's the transfer portal going to do to this team? Transfer portal's horrible for FCS football. I think we probably – I mean, it's
the Dr. Pepper commercial.
Yeah.
You just lost your whole defense. Yeah.
But your thoughts, I mean, any idea? Do you have any thoughts on what will happen after this with this team?
You know, I've tried to think about that. I mean,
there's dudes have been offered money.
I'm sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because it's, you know, they say, oh, you have
there's
to
there's a third
go.
Party contacting them saying, hey, here's this much money.
Supposed to be in the, you know, in the portal before we contact you. Heck, they've already got offers before. That's why they get in the portal.
Yep.
Right.
You know, and so I'm hoping, you know, we can keep most of ours. You know, you never know, though.
If you're a Grizz fan, sign up for good old Grizzly Collective Group. It's like literally, we have to unite as a fan base and as a university if we're going to compete with these guys. Look at NDSU; they've had two of their big guys enter the transfer portal and then recommit to NDSU, and it's guaranteed because both that D end and the lineman both signed back with NDSU and
came up with some money.
Exactly.
They're matching
There's
offers.
Money. Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so when they have their shirts on sale, buy a shirt. I mean, it's 10, 20 bucks, but that goes a long way for those kids because, I mean, the cost of living both in Missoula and Bozeman has gone up dramatically.
Boy.
So
yeah, it's nuts.
And they say, oh, you know, you're full scholarship kids. You barely get you're barely surviving off of a check in that sense. Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to be eating food and you can't work a job because your job is football. And so, I mean, I love that we're naming a bear after Junior. Like, anything we can do to praise Junior to keep him here. But also, at the same time, I guarantee these coaches are like, well, that's why we're recruiting more Montana kids is because the chances of us enter the transfer portal is less likely. Look at all the ones for the Cats. They were all out-of-staters.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of factors that play into it, but we're going to have to find ways of money to make it back because I know for a fact these guys have been called and been offered six figures of $100,000
plus. And I don't fault any kid for taking that money. I don't. There's only so many opportunities you have in life. Loyalty's fine, but money is important to you and your family. And I don't, you know, to these kids and
But I'd
anybody.
Rather play for a national championship than a 6-6 Big Ten team.
Yeah, you know, and you can say, oh, hey, important for my family. You know how long they're going to have that money? You know how long?
Taxes.
Between taxes. You're in big boy world now. I got to pay taxes. Right. I got to do this. I got to do that. Okay, yeah, they'll have it spent in about how long. So you're still doing what, right? I mean, if you're smart with it, which I'm not sure many of those young men are yet, you know, I mean,
what
position are you
going to
be in?
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
I would have, I don't know about Ryan, I would have a hard time leaving. This is where I was recruited. They gave me a shot. They grew me. I'm sitting here going, okay, hey, I'm looking across. These are the guys I hang out with all the time. These are the guys I live with. These are the guys I go play softball with in the summer. I go floating down the river with, you know, that we do whatever all summer, but I play golf with them. I mean, I'm going to take off on you guys. See you later because I think I'm better and I'm going to go over here. Yep. You know, I don't think so. I'm here with you guys. So I have a different mentality on that, but that's not today's every kid.
Well, the other thing, and you guys have both mentioned it, I think it underlines it. You can win here.
Yeah.
That has to be the thing. The winning is that's the last key. Like, you know, the transfer portal's got, there's a lot of sex appeal to all that money. I mean, if somebody put six figures in front of me, I'd jump in the transfer portal now at age 48. Like, I'm in.
Yep.
But you can win here. You know, that part, because it becomes harder.
Totally.
That 8-3 season, it's not the whole not good enough thing. All of a sudden you're like, eh, we're mid. Yeah. It's not happening. I'm not on TV. And I could be making money and go play for Michigan State.
Totally.
They'd be lucky to get to 6-6, by the way.
Well, and they're top. I mean, when you're hearing the numbers, I mean, I've heard 175, 200,000 for a certain couple of kids that went to the pack, you know.
Tough.
You're just like, man. And one did go to Washington that I'm impressed with the numbers I heard and whatnot. And, hey,
yeah,
you know, it's hard. It's hard to skip on that, you know, and it really is. And so were we to say that's wrong for them?
It's changed so much so fast.
Yeah, so you use coaches and...
But I think you go down to it. I'm born in East Helena, Montana. Yeah. I'm a Montana kid. I wanted a 37 jersey for Christmas. So that tradition of lifestyle has been something I've dreamt for my whole life. So that's why I feel like my loyalty would, in the same sense. I mean, money talks, but at the same time...
It does.
I'm a Montana kid. I'll never leave. Well, you know.
And most of the kids here, if not all the kids here that are... If you want to go to the league, if you want to go to the NFL, the chances are a slim. But if you do have that potential, you're still going to be behind somebody at some school you go to. You're still not going to be the guy in most cases. Yeah. In most cases, maybe not all. But in most cases, you're going to go and still be, there's going to be a quarterback who's the star of the community. There's going to be a running back that's the star of the community. You're probably coming from FCS football going into a situation where you're still not the A number one guy. And so being here, the attention, there's plenty of attention to get you to the NFL. That's not a hurdle anymore. That's way archaic now. Carson Wentz is the number one.
The NFL will find you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
The majority of the cases going into the portal don't work out. You know, they don't find places, or it doesn't work out, or they end up backups. I mean, you know, running back for the Kittens, you know, went to Cal, I think, and I think he said he was a backup.
Third string.
Right? You know, so I went from, hey, what can I do here at MSU to now I'm over here for X. And so not every scenario is going to be that top great looking scenario. Hey, that guy went there and look at it and he's doing it. Yeah, okay, that's the 10%ers.
Well, and even at the top level of college football, Uiagalelei, I hope I got that even close. The Clemson quarterback.
He
leaves Clemson. He goes to Oregon State. Now he's going to FSU to back somebody up. Yep. You know, 3 years, three schools. And that's it. He's playing quarterback at the highest level on Saturday, you know, on game day every day, and they're still doing it.
That was only the second time somebody has yodeled on the podcast, by the way. We had Wiley.
First time we had a yodeler. Well. Second time it was me. That's not good.
Yeah.
Now, I know both of you guys are up against some time crunches, so I don't want to keep you too long, and I'm going to guess that we can skip the prediction part because nobody's probably going to come in calling for a win from South Dakota State.
No.
What has to happen for the Grizz to get a win on Sunday in Frisco?
Grizz got to come out of the blocks offensively, hot, put South Dakota State on their heels, and then let it play out and then finish the game in the end, make a play in the end.
Just like, yeah, exactly. If you look at the Idaho game, I think we mimic the same type of mindset. Is you got to score fast, get points on them, get them out of their game plan to where they just can't run the ball, and make them in some predictable situations and special teams.
We get a turnover too. That, you know, I mean, you're on the plus side of the turnovers. You come out of the blocks hot on offense, give your team excitement and a chance and go, and they're right there, because especially when you're what are we now, 14 points, whatever the number is now,
minus 13 and a half.
Whatever, we're down
or okay, plus 13
that's
and
fine
half,
right?
82% of the money came in on Bama, you know, so you're fine.
You know, they're on the other sideline going, hey, I thought these guys weren't that good and we're supposed to be this, and all of a sudden these things start going in the head, they get a little tense. Hey, that game just got a lot tighter for a lot longer. You know, and so I see that happening, quite honestly. I think we'll be coached and be prepared, and we'll play well. And if we play well early, I think we're right there.
I played SDSU. I don't know if you knew this, in the playoff game where we were down 35 points going into the fourth quarter, and we came back and won by 14 points, I think it was. Scored like 49 points or 42 points.
That's funny. And I was in the one in 93.
Yeah. So
when we came back and beat them. They were
you guys
and
in school.
They still had giant tight ends back then. Yeah. I mean, they
had huge team.
Just cut them in half,
we
hit them right through their chest.
We need to get you guys together. Yeah.
Well, I actually was watching you play that game.
Yeah.
And I was in the 93 game when we had to come back big time. You know, and that was first game of the year.
Oh, yeah.
They were at D2 school.
Still
looked the same. Yeah. Huge.
They're big old dudes. So.
Oh, yeah.
Well, have you ever been to South Dakota?
Have
they
not.
Don't make small people. They don't exist.
They must not, because they got plenty of them.
Yeah, they get the wind takes them. They end up in Minnesota. They're gone.
Gone.
They get swept away.
I love the mentality of this football team. I love the mentality of the leadership. And that's where I think our strength lies first and foremost in approaching this game. So that'll be fun to watch.
Yep. Bill Cockhill, Ryan Featherston, thank you so much for the time.
Oh, thank you guys.
Sorry, we had to.
No, it's fine.
I got the next appointment to go to now.
our first pod of 2024, and with a huge game coming up on Sunday at noon in Frisco, Texas.
I could do this all day.
Yeah, he does, actually, whether you're here or not. He would be talking to the girls up in the front of the building like right now going, hey, you know, you really got to keep an eye on their linebackers. And they're like, shut up. So thank you so much for the time. Best of luck. Go Grizz.
Thank you.
Go Grizz.
And not kidding, considering your combined luck with South Dakota State, get carried together on. Yeah, on game day. Yep. Third quarter. Call each other. Stop.
Yep. Yep.
Make a love connection. That's it. That's our first full episode of the Big Sky Boneheads podcast. Again, share it, like, subscribe to the channel. That's what helps make the whole thing go. You'll find it wherever you find your podcast. So let people know, and we will be back next week.